Hi, and thanks for being here. Newfoundland and Labrador could be sitting on one of the biggest economic opportunities in the country, a jackpot of critical minerals the world is desperate for. But instead of booming, investment is failing, projects are stalled, and red tape is choking growth. Why is a province with so much potential being left behind? Yesterday, I had a chance to speak with Alex Whalen from the Fraser Institute to break down what's going wrong and what it would take to turn Newfoundland and Labrador into a global mining powerhouse. All right, Alex, let me tell you a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. You are the senior policy analyst at the Fraser Institute, specializing in economics and public policy in Atlantic Canada. And recently, you published a really interesting report on Newfoundland and Labrador and the global mining powerhouse that's being left on the table. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Glad to be here.
This was an interesting report because it seems to me that Atlantic Canada is rich with resources we're not taking advantage of. Tell me about this.
That's absolutely right. So the report you're referring to is an annual publication of the Fraser Institute, authored by my colleagues. And we survey mining investors all over the world. In fact, this year we surveyed mining investors from 82 jurisdictions, countries all over the world, including several jurisdictions in Canada. And what we measure in that report is the degree to which mining investors find those individual jurisdictions attractive for mining investment. Now, why does that matter to the average person? It matters because mining is actually a tremendous economic development opportunity. We've made that argument here in Atlantic Canada, that certainly in Newfoundland and Labrador, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, investors have told us there is great potential for economic development, strong paying jobs, investment capital. And in fact, the mining industry in this region already is a significant part of the regional economy. But what investors have told us in the survey is that the region has substantial untapped potential, and the government policy is standing in the way of more development.
What are some of the untapped resources we're leaving on the table right now?
It varies by province. Certainly Newfoundland and Labrador is the jurisdiction in Atlantic Canada that investors have identified as the most attractive. Critical minerals, especially in the Labrador region, are abundant. Demand for critical minerals has been on the rise, given changes in battery technology and various elements of the energy transition. So Newfoundland and Labrador are certainly a very attractive jurisdiction, but there's significant potential in New Brunswick, in Nova Scotia, and right across the country. The potential varies a bit by province. When you look at Nova Scotia, for example, there's significant potential to mine uranium, something that has been banned for decades in the province, but something where the provincial government recently reversed the ban. So that's something we'll be keeping a close eye on. And then aside from critical minerals and something like uranium, the three provinces I just referenced all have significant potential when it comes to more conventional types of mining, things like aggregates, gold, gypsum, limestone, salt, etc.
So, okay, now the investment crowd is there saying we'll put money behind mining. The resources have been proven to be there. What is the government doing to prevent this from happening? Where are the roadblocks for this this industry?
Government policy and regulation specifically is a huge barrier for this industry. What we hear consistently from investors year after year is that regulation is holding the industry back. I think everybody can agree that strong safety and environmental standards must be in place. But what investors are telling us is that that is burdensome and is holding back investment. And in a lot of cases, it's simply unnecessary regulation that's doing so. If you look at a province like Nova Scotia, for example, you've got the regulatory environment. And one key aspect of that is the permitting environment. And investors in last year's survey told us that 50% of the time they were waiting for more than 15 months to receive a permit. That's the highest proportion of any of the 82 jurisdictions we surveyed. Furthermore, 30% of project proponents were having to wait over 2 years to get a permit. So you have the length of the wait and the severe regulatory requirements that these proponents have to tackle. And again, it's important to maintain safety and environmental standards. It's the excess regulation is what we're hearing that is consistently holding this industry back.
That's wild, because it's not just holding the investment industry back or the, you know, buying market out there, holding them at bay for product they would certainly be buying. But this must have an impact on the economies of these various, you know, localities. No matter where it is in Atlantic Canada, like you point out, mining has been a sort of a baseline industry, providing, you know, home economics and households with their lives and lifestyles for many years. This must be having an impact on those communities.
Absolutely. I'm glad you raised home economics because that, I think, is one of the reasons why this is such an important area for public policy. Average wages in the mining sector in my home province here in Nova Scotia are over $100,000 per year. So that's roughly double the average wage in the province. So obviously, those types of jobs make a very substantial difference when it comes to people's ability to feed their family and to run their households. The industry does currently employ over 3,000 people in this province, and I believe it's closer to 5,000 people in Newfoundland and Labrador. So there is a good base level of economic activity there. But what the survey tells us is that it could clearly be much higher. And what that means for Atlantic Canadians is more of those really well-paying jobs.
This is a time in which we're trying to find ways to boost the economy. We're trying to, you know, find and develop skills, certainly in Ontario and Alberta. In the Atlantic provinces, there's programs in place the federal government has put out there that is meant to develop skills. This could be one of those areas that would be perfect to do so, because now suddenly we're tapping into resources, which Canada is rich in, supporting communities and even bolstering new employment with new skills right here in Canada. Why, how does the government justify these blockades, as it seems?
Well, that's a great question, and you can analyze the merits of various government programs, but I would say the bottom line here is that what we are seeing consistently is that government is an impediment to economic development, especially in natural resources, which has been targeted through a series of regulatory and legislative measures over the past decade. Our natural resource industry has been really facing substantial headwinds from the government, really from coast to coast. So I think the best thing that government could do when it comes to mining, when it comes to oil and gas, when it comes to other areas of natural resources, really to try to get out of the way, create a solid regulatory framework, a competitive regulatory framework, a competitive tax environment, and then investment funds will flow in. But what we've seen over the last decade is, unfortunately, the exact opposite.
It's wild to me that we can't just look to how other countries are doing it successfully. We always have to build our own framework and infrastructure that is a web of bureaucracy. Let's take a look at some other countries that are doing this successfully and apply those same principles. The safety standards, the way that we transport or store, the way that we actually handle mining and the carbon footprint associated with it. But let's take an example from somebody, another country maybe, that has done this successfully. Why aren't we doing that?
Well, that's a great question. And I would zoom out and I'll make a bit of a macro point for you, Mike, on this, which is the relationship between the size of government and economic growth. So at the Institute, we've published research looking at countries all over the world over a long series of time. And you ask what makes a country successful? Well, we've seen that there's a pretty tight correlation between economic growth and the size of government. When you have no government, countries tend to cease to function, can be very dysfunctional, aren't able to provide basic services, security, protective services, et cetera. As governments grow as a share of the economy, if they're very small, they tend to substantially contribute to economic growth because those things are badly needed. But once you go over a tipping point, government becomes a huge barrier to economic growth. And the data is quite clear that in Canada, that's where we're at. So our research has shown that the growth maximizing size of government is about 26 to 30% of the economy. In Canada right now, we're approximately 46% of the economy, and this is direct government spending at all levels. And if you look at my region in Atlantic Canada, we're over 60% of the economy in some provinces. And so I say that as a big picture suggestion on how can we get more growth, more jobs, a stronger economy in Canada. We need less government.
It seems to me that we like to mimic enormous governments. When we have to remember, and this is just opinion right now, Alex, and you know, you can quote me. I think that we need to become a little more aware of ourselves. We tend to be on the world stage, the poor kid on the block with shiny shoes. And it doesn't make sense when we have all of these resources and we could become an economic powerhouse again, that we just leave them there based on our virtue over, let's say, economic reality.
There's no question. If you look at Canada's ranking currently among the 36, 37 OECD member countries, depending which year you look at, Canada is down near the bottom in terms of economic growth. And that means that we're down near the bottom in terms of changes to living standards. And the OECD, in fact, is forecasting that that's going to continue to be the case going forward. So I think opening up the country for business, opening up the country for stronger economic development is really the key policy change that we need to get out of that rut. And as you say, natural resources are just a key driver of that growth. But our current position is unfortunate, and Canada should be much, much higher.
Let's zoom back down into the resources of Newfoundland and Labrador specifically. What are some of the reforms that specifically you think need to happen right away? I mean, we can say, okay, government needs to get out of the way. Where do we begin with that?
Well, in our mining survey, investors are actually telling us that Newfoundland and Labrador is fairly strongly positioned. So in the survey, we measure both mineral potential, meaning what actual minerals are in the province available to be mined, and then also we measure the policy environment. And Newfoundland and Labrador has rated very highly in both sides of that index over the past few years, and it's actually improved. Certainly concerns that we hear from investors across the board is uncertainty regarding land claims, particularly vis-a-vis indigenous land claims. We hear concerns over protected areas. We hear concerns over taxes and fees. And we hear concerns over the overall regulatory environment. But Newfoundland and Labrador, according to the investors that we've surveyed, looks quite strong. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick is a much different story if we're looking at this region.
A really very interesting report. And I will point it out that you can get it at the Fraser Institute website. And really, I like that it's sort of a snapshot of our economy and our approach to industry overall. Okay, we're good. We're ready. We've got this. We could be a leader at this. Okay, stop. Everybody stop. What are we doing? And that's how I felt this reflected on that scenario. And it was really great to see a light shone upon it, because otherwise we're not really going to understand that we have these resources, that we can do it safely, that it can make a difference to the economy of communities that desperately need it, and it can elevate us. So I did appreciate this report. Students and concerned Canadians, I recommend you have a look at it. Mining investment peaked to $1.3 billion in 2022, but it's projected to fall to $616 million by 2025 if something isn't done. That's a dramatic drop off there.
Absolutely.
So, Alex, thanks so much for your time on this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to join you.
Well, there it is. You see, the more you chat, the more you learn. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. And that report, a link to it, and the Fraser Institute's other reports will all be included in the description. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, dislike, whatever, interact. But please share it with a friend and stay with us. We'll see you next time.